Well, we're back on the air, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. Thank you very much, MTP Software, who is hosting us, built our studios. They're doing a great job, and I'm glad that we have Peter Meyerson back from Martha's Vineyard as my co-host. Welcome back, Peter.
Thank you, Jeff. It's tough to be back from the vineyard, but it's great to be here.
Right. Did you see the Obamas? Did you bid on the house that they
were bidding
on?
Yeah, we played golf together and you know all that kind of stuff.
Right, right. We don't want you to get the house that he was looking for.
Yeah, I'm not likely to buy his house.
Peter, how'd you hit your drive on number 8 at Farm Neck?
Peter's the only reason I play golf with Peter is because he's the only person worse than me. So let's just move on from there.
I rarely disagree with Jeffrey, but in this he's true.
We're the two worst we're the only two people who don't get invited to charitable events because they would rather not see us play than get our money.
Well, they also don't like us getting off at the 14th hole, when we're tired.
All right. Well, let's get on because that voice was the voice of Michael Young from ConnectPay. And we're gonna have the Young Report because we're gonna talk about what it's like maybe for millennials in terms of what are they really getting paid when they take a job, and then what's the extra pay benefits, the second part. So welcome, Michael. Always a exciting time when you're in the studio.
Well, it's great to be here, I think, for the second time. So
yeah.
I appreciate you having me back.
Well, it's great. Well, you're not as young as when I first met you.
I just had a birthday, but I'll just leave it there.
Yeah. Well, you're still younger than I am. So, this whole thing about what are people really getting paid, I think, is an interesting topic. So why don't you explain it a little bit to our listeners and our young entrepreneurs?
Sure. It's interesting. When you take a look at income today, income comes in a number of different ways to you. It comes to you through your salary.
Right.
It comes to you through benefits. It comes to you through vacation time. So when you look at a full compensation package, you look at your income, you look at what the corporation is supporting or sponsoring you for, right? What portion of your medical insurance they're going to pay, what portion of your dental insurance they might pay, your disability insurances, your life insurances, and then how much vacation time you might have. And what's interesting about vacation time is there's been a trend by corporations to give folks unlimited amount of vacation time. And while
unlimited,
right? Take whatever you want, whenever you want. And what's interesting about that is there's really two ways to look at that. And if you read a lot of the articles that are out now on vacation time, they find that, first of all, if a corporation gives you vacation time and you accrue that vacation time, but it's unused, when you leave your employment, they need to pay you out that unused portion of your vacation time.
Right.
By giving people the ability to take an unlimited amount of time, you're not accruing time, and therefore there's never a liability on the balance sheet to the corporation. There's never a payment that they have to make when you leave.
Oh.
So what's interesting is corporations...
Also, if you have an employee who takes 4 months off a year, 5 months off a year, it's not really a productive employee.
Well, and so what we're finding, right, what we see is that...
Self-management.
There's a peer pressure.
Right.
And so folks are like, well, I haven't taken a day off. Should you be taking a day off? And what the studies are now finding is even though there's an unlimited amount of vacation time, folks are actually taking less time off. And the corporations have benefited by not having a liability on their books. So it's an interesting topic.
It's a great topic.
Wow.
I mean, and it really is so different from the European model. I mean, when you think about it, the Europeans all, they all take all their vacation. And in the United States, people just don't. I mean, it is the peer pressure, the whatever it is. And the question,
management pressure, I would call it.
I don't know that it's management pressure. I think it's self-imposed. And the question is,
and even
really,
when you take it, you end up working anyway because you've got to stay connected and you keep your laptop on and your phone on.
In today's world, that's really the truth. But the question really is, if you don't take vacation, are you being as productive as you can be?
So Peter, this is the point that I would argue, right? I would say that giving people unlimited time and giving them the pressure of making a decision of when they're going to take time off is actually a negative on productivity. And I think, we've got in our company, we have a policy that we have folks use all of their time every year for a couple of reasons. One is you have to rest your brain. You need to get away. You need to be with your family. You need to take some decompression time. And it's not good to accumulate time and not take time off. And so I think from a corporate perspective, corporations really driving their staff, and we work with our employees to make sure that they take the time off that they have because we want them to be at work and focused and happy and productive.
You know, I do a little bit of a combination of the European-Canadian model, and that is at Mage, my consulting firm. We actually have company-wide vacation weeks. We close down between Christmas and New Year's. We think it's a less productive time. We close down the end of August through Labor Day. We consider it to be, you know, clients don't want to see us. And then we're all sort of leaving at the same time. We all get to relax at the same time. We also have floating times that are that we all have individually. But scheduling at the same time when we know that people really don't want to be actively involved with us and actually being away at the same time really helps us, I think, as a group. So there isn't that cross-communication going on in work.
Sure,
so we do that also.
But, but do your clients allow it? I mean,
they don't even know. They didn't even know about it until I said it now, probably. Because nobody contacts us between Christmas and New Year's. And if they do, then we're still available for a call. And no one really contacts us the last week of August through Labor Day. Have you ever noticed the streets of, that 128 is like a ghost highway for that last week of August in Boston?
It's the only time I like coming in town.
Exactly. It's the streets are empty.
Well, I remember when I was a young boy and my father was in a manufacturing environment and they had shutdown, right? They shut the whole plant
exactly.
down. And everybody took their time
That's
off
what I'm
and
doing.
They retooled and they did whatever they had to do. And, you know, in our business, in the payroll processing business, it's difficult to do that, right? We're in the service industry. People have to be paid every day at any time. So it's difficult for us to do that. But it's funny, a number of years ago, one of our staff members came to us and said, the day after Thanksgiving is this sort of black hole, right? You know, there's not a lot going on, and we were still there for our customers. And we have found that that's the one time that we can stretch.
I do that too. We do 4 or 5 day weekends over Thanksgiving.
And give folks this, you know, this wonderful time that is a time of thanks for everybody in the country, right?
So we, I actually owe this structure to some degree to the divorce judge in my divorce because they scheduled
I'm wondering too.
Forced vacation time with my kids around certain holidays, and I realized it can work. You can manage it. So it's interesting, and I think, you know, you bring up a really interesting trend that I think is beneficial both to the employee and to the employer, because the employer is going to save money the way you say it, but you're also learning who's the most responsible, and you expect people to be responsible. Do you really want to nitpick people on their days off? You know, and I know people who do that. They're tracking time by the hour of senior managers. I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you look at a lot of the financial institutions, they impose a forced vacation because they want to get their employees out of, you know, the office, both to check on them and to give them a real rest. And if you have people who are, you know, even self-imposed, you know, pushing themselves to work, you know, without vacation, you know, maybe they're sort of productive, but maybe that isn't really the most productive thing. And I think you have to look at it from an industry point of view and, you know, what industry are you talking about in? And it's a really almost a philosophical issue and a very interesting one.
Well, and right, it's not binary. I don't think there's a right and a wrong answer, right? I think it depends on what situation you're in. And, you know, I think the trends right now are probably good for some industries and not terrific for others. But, you know, Jeffrey, to get back to your original question, and the question of income, and I've got, you know, two girls at Syracuse University right now as freshmen and senior. And they'll be going out into the workforce pretty soon. And so I'll be coaching them when they get their first job offers to how do you look at what your compensation package is. And what's interesting is the one part of the compensation package that folks don't really tend to spend enough time with isn't really the monetary part, but it's the commute part. It's the social part. It's being in the right environment and how you can get to work. And, you know, what's interesting, I was just at an event where the mayor was speaking about what is possibly going to happen as the millennials begin to get older and have children and have to face making choices on education and whether they will stay in Boston or not when they have to make that choice with their family and where they may go from there. And the first sort of ring around Boston is pretty expensive, as we all know. So there's not a great chance that 25 to 28 or 30-year-old kids are going to be buying their first
home. It's like
a
Target board.
Right? They're going to have to jump over that first ring, and they're going to have to move out.
Providence.
When they move further out away from Boston, this compensation piece of commute is going to become very important.
Right.
And how quickly can you get to work? What's your cost to get to work? What's your train expense? So, you know, I would encourage anybody certainly in the early days of their careers to spreadsheet all of the different components of what a job means to you, from commute to compensation to benefits to vacation to the social piece. And look at it on a piece of paper and look at it holistically. Don't just look at somebody saying your base salary is going to be X. It's really a holistic approach.
So let me ask you, for millennials, in the little time we have left, 1 minute, if somebody does give an offer letter to a millennial, do they negotiate an offer letter, or is that the wrong thing to do?
I think every situation is unique. Personally, I think if you go into an interview process and understand where you want to be relative to what you know, and you understand what the framework is around what your earnings should be. I think one of the problems is when somebody's unrealistic, both the employer or the employee, about what the compensation for somebody should be. But I think if you've done your homework, you understand where you are, you get a fair offer, it fits with what you're asking for, put your head down and work hard. Learn a lot, and then the next time you get an offer to jump up with that corporation or to do something different,
then build it in.
Then you build
round
it in,
two,
right? Right.
You know, I agree with you on that, because I do that even as a management consultant. I don't think that the initial contract is the one to negotiate on, because I have proven no value.
Right.
They might like me, or they might think I'm good at something, but it's not until you prove your value that you can really discuss value.
Except I would say that you have to be careful about, you know, what industry you're talking about, because if you're talking about a first job for somebody with some technical skills, the things that employers are looking at is protecting the IP, and the kids don't really understand it, nor in fact do many of the employers.
That's a two-sided coin.
It's a two-sided coin, and so, you know, the question of negotiate, I mean, I agree with you in a general way that you need to look at this all holistically and in very, you know, in context.
Right.
Okay, well, you are the definitive payroll expert. And if somebody is looking for you and wants to understand payroll and trends, how are they going to find you, Michael?
ConnectPayUSA.com or reach out and call our office anytime. I'm happy to take your call.
Great. Thanks, Michael. And you're going to come back again?
I'd love to.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Welcome back from Martha's Vineyard.
I'm sorry to be here, Jeff, but I love being with you, and I loved Michael's interview.
Could you spend 4, 5, 6 months consecutive at the Vineyard?
I could probably spend 4 months. I don't know that I could do a year.
Right. I have a weekend on the Cape, and I'm ready to come back. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.